B-Pod Studios.
There's a few shots on the broadcast of you very visibly frustrated and animated. How would you just explain the psychological component of coaching against Bill Belichick, especially when he's doing something like that, just running the ball time?
Yeah, it's not... Let's not give more credit than we need to give credit to Bill Belichick in this one. It was, whether it's Bill or anybody else, they beat us, right? But you sit here and you tell me when they start with the average starting, when we start with the average starting field position at the 40-yard line and he starts with the 23-yard line, and I'm rounding up in both cases, and we were 1-for-4 in the red zone and they're 0-for-1 in the red zone, you give me that ahead of time, I'm saying I like my chances. I like my chances. So it's not, I don't think, with all due respect, it's not a Bill Belichick type thing. It's what are you doing with the opportunities you got? What are you doing with the opportunities you got? We turned the ball over at the plus 30-some yard line. Sloppy football. Sloppy football. So I'm very comfortable in that situation.
There's that McDermott comment. Hour two with Bedard. He's brought to you by the Granite Group. Granite Group is an award-winning distributor of Mitsubishi Electric's heating and air conditioning systems with locations across Massachusetts and New England. Learn more at customizedcomfort.com. You want to follow up on that, Greg, or you want to go back to the phones and the people?
Go to the phones.
Okay, here's Steve in Fall River. What do you got, Steve?
Hi, so maybe I'm missing the point about the Mac Jones conversation, but at the end of the day, and when I listen to the morning show, the midday show, and you guys, Josh Allen agreeably was the best quarterback on the field, agreeably the best Buffalo Bill on the field. The end result, they lost the game because it's not about the one player. It's about the team effort. And
oh, by the way, it's not about the quarterback. It's about the team effort, said Bill Belichick.
Right.
I mean, you better believe it, Steve. Go ahead.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
But that it is what it is.
Yeah, well,
and that's it.
I think you're right. I mean, that certainly was the case in that game. There are, however, games where the quarterback makes the difference. In maybe too many games, the quarterback makes the difference.
We saw a lot of them here.
It's just an unfortunate reality of what the league's become. Would you disagree with that, Greg?
No, but I would just use this as an opportunity to say, I can't wait for Buffalo to come back in here. And I hope there's good weather because I want to see the Patriots go toe-to-toe. I want to see the best from the Bills. I want to see the full arsenal from all the teams, from both teams, and see which team is better.
When you say when you said before they're built to win anyway, and try and beat you any way that the game's being played. Do you think they can win in a shootout?
I have my questions about that. I mean, one of the last remaining questions I have about this team, besides, you know, can Mac Jones operate well in the cold? I'm not saying he can't. I'm just saying I don't have any evidence that he can yet. Is a team that is going, which I thought the Bills were going to do. I have my questions about whether the Patriots defense can stop a team that just spreads them out and does short passes and gun runs and things like that. That's what I would do to the Patriots. I would spread them out similar to the Falcons had a drive at the end of the third quarter where they did that and they went down the field, and I think that was with before the fourth down stop. That's the way I would move the ball against the Patriots. I would spread them all over the place, look for matchups, just dink and dunk down the field, mix in some gun runs, double team somebody to the second level. And I think you can move the ball against the Patriots. And if that happens, if Buffalo, say Buffalo does that, can the Patriots catch up? I don't know.
Yeah, the problem is the red zone. That's the problem.
True. Yeah.
Right? That's the problem.
That's where they dial it up.
Yeah, they'll hold you to field goals down there. They keep you under 30, they'll beat you.
Dick in Attleboro. Go ahead, Dick.
Yeah, Greg, I want to get your opinion on a comment the announcer made going into the fourth quarter. Seems to me the only time that Buffalo was able to stop the run, the Patriots were marching, and on two straight plays, Matt Milano shot the gap. And the announcer made reference to that was an adjustment that they hadn't done prior to that. Was there any significance to that move, and does it have any indication for what the Bills might do on the 26th?
It was a good adjustment. I mean, it was. I'm surprised it took that long. Should not have taken that long. If they knew the Patriots weren't going to throw, they should have been throwing everybody into the line and exposing any gap that they could. And they didn't do that till way too late. And does it have anything to do with the rematch? No, because can you tell me, is it going to be played in the same weather conditions? The Patriots are not going to play offense like this. They're not going to be in tank personnel the entire second half. If they do that, okay, yeah, maybe they're in trouble. But that's not going to happen, and so the Patriots will vary their running game. Plus, an very underrated thing in this game that no one's really talked about and that I asked about. I was told that Mac Jones did a really good job of, and the film showed this as well. You know, when you see him point to his head, alert, things like that. Mac Jones did a really good job keeping the Patriots in good running plays against that defense. Like, a lot of it is just math. When you count, all right, how many defenders are on this side of the ball? How many blockers do we have? Where do we have the number advantage? And let's run, either we're going to run that weak toss or we're going to go to the strong side. And Mac Jones did a really good job of that. And to me, that just further illustrated the personnel differences between the two teams that the Bills just could not match up.
That's the side of the ball where I blame McDermott. I don't blame him on the offensive side. It was a tough night to play offense. But the other side, you give up a 64-yard run, you're a defensive coach, and then you, the rest of the night they're not threatening a pass, and you're giving up almost 4 yards a carry? And what the hell's wrong with you?
Jimmy in Medway. Go ahead, Jimmy.
First off, guys, please, please just agree to disagree on Josh Allen. It's becoming insufferable to listen to. He's a decent quarterback, nothing better, nothing worse. And he's not the story of that football game the other night. The story is Bill freaking Belichick, after a year of embarrassment, dropping his ball back on this division. And I'm not one of these bobos calling into the 12 o'clock show, but him making it so obvious what he was doing to the point of hitting you over the head with a Navy mask in three pass attempts by Jones, leading to the entire Bills organization crying in the post game, that gave me a little pat the Patriot in my pants, and I'm not afraid to admit it.
That's, okay. That's fine, but
I find you insufferable.
The season is not over yet. The season, look, and I think a lot of Patriots fans, look, rightfully, the other night you want like one day or a couple days to celebrate that and say, like, look, we're all in the Bills' heads, you know, all of them. You go ahead, say that, but you know, forget about it, because the season, a lot can still happen. The Bills drop down to the seventh seed in the AFC. If you all of a sudden come out of the bye and you lose to the Colts and then the Bills come in here, like, you're also in trouble. And so this season is far from over yet. I wouldn't get overconfident.
Yeah, with the number one seed now.
Dave in New Hampshire. Hi, Dave.
Yeah, hey guys, big fan. I had three things on McDermott. You covered the wind and the coin toss there. Like, you're not playing Mahomes in September. You don't have to defer the kickoff. You're the home coach. The wind is a big deal. How about the extra point? I haven't heard you guys talk about that. So they scored the touchdown.
No, we got it.
They didn't go for. Okay, you got that?
Yeah.
And then have you guys talked about the complaining? Like, I feel like watching that on TV, every other minute is McDermott, like, complaining with the refs, like, it was like 20 times that all you see is him complaining. Well,
let me pick up on the complaint. I'm sorry to cut you off. The complaining is a horrible look, makes him look unhinged. I don't think it hurts him with the refs. Maybe he got that roughing call on Allen because he was in their ear so badly. Yeah, he did, right?
Yeah, and you can see him pointing, and I put it on Twitter on the coach's film. You can see him pointing. But, you know, being in the stadium, and I was almost right on that sideline, I saw that play, and my instant reaction was, that's a flag? Like, even before I saw the replay. He was obviously lunging, but I think it wears down the officials, and they finally decided to give him one there.
Okay, so I think it doesn't hurt his team, the complaining. The extra point, going for the kick instead of two, was in hindsight another bad call, because if you miss a two-pointer, Greg, being down 8-6 is the same as being down 8-7 when you make the kick. You're still going to need to get a possession to get in there and hopefully be able to kick a field goal, which was no sure bet on this night. So that was pointed out early to me, and I think it's a fair second guess.
Yeah, I'm not big on, you know, going for the 2 points like immediately. I never am. I'm always the type of guy, I'm not going for two until I need it. And he really didn't need it. He just needed his field goal kicker. He needed Josh Allen not to take a sack. And then he needed his field goal kicker to make that. And they're down there. They're ready for the game winner. And it has nothing to do with the two-pointer. I don't think it was some master stroke by Bill Belichick. Like I said.
No, I don't.
I'm just making this point.
It's just the Buffalo part. Being down 8-7 is the same as 8-6, given the way this game was going to be.
Yeah, and Greg, normally I would agree with you and say, don't chase the two-point conversion in the first quarter.
This was different.
Okay, but this game was different. Because, again, this is a game where every point was going to matter. Every single one.
It was too early.
Oh, I disagree.
Not on this night.
I mean, I'm sorry. I just disagree. I thought it was too early, and I thought the way the game played out backs me up. That the Bills had every opportunity to win that game if they made the field goal.
No, the way the game played out doesn't back you up, because all they would have needed was a field goal there on that last possession to tie the game and send
it
into overtime.
If their kicker missed and made the field goal, it would have been the same thing.
It wouldn't have come down to that then if they had gone for the 2 points and made it. They wouldn't have needed two field goals. They would have just needed one. So the events actually do not back you up, big fella. It's still debatable.
Whatever.
But, well, whatever.
I disagree with the
yeah,
going
you
for
do.
Two.
Yeah, you can be wrong. Yep. Dante in New Bedford, quickly.
Hey, is it me?
Yeah, it's you. I don't think it's going to be very quick, Dante. Just hold on. We're going to do 10 questions with Bedard right after these words. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass.
Mike, you there?
Yeah, good. Hold on, I have a landline. This is my landline, yep.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, 10 questions with Bedard around the league and here in New England. 10 questions, 10 minutes. We've got to stay on time. Kevin Maggiore, what do we got for buzzer options?
Oh,
that was so in the windstorm.
Yeah.
Very good. You know what the hell that was.
I'm not convinced.
Of course you're not. That sums up the show. Next.
I remember a game like this that they had up there when Brady was the quarterback once, where the wind was blowing a million miles an hour.
Thanks for that story, Maz. It was a good one.
Sorry.
Let's not give more credit than we need to give credit to Bill Belichick.
Let's not, shall we? That's another show motto. Go ahead. What's the latest in the world of sports, Mary? In the world of sports, Murray.
Well, Mike.
Sorry.
Ding. They're on tier one. Would you shut up?
There you go. Finally. All right. Hit it, Majori. Anyone you want. So, I'm sorry. Maz has something to say first.
I'll just make it quickly. You'll notice that we have a new addition to the set today. Alongside the big boy plushie, we'd have a little big boy plastic item that Adam Jones's wife bought us in New York City. I'm just pointing out this is actually a little piggy bank. So every time Greg doesn't answer the question, money goes in the piggy bank. We're doing our own little big boy kangaroo court here.
I love it.
You got that?
Someone married Jones?
Yes, someone married Jones.
Can you believe?
Yeah.
And they actually have a spawn.
She must be a saint.
Yeah, I think he drugged her first.
By the way, 10 Questions with Greg Bedard is presented by Granite City Electrical. Granite City Electrical Contractors, get on board with the GCE Night Train. Order your materials to be delivered overnight to the job site the following morning and save time and money. Go to GCENightTrain.com. All right, question number 10. Do you like the bye week? How do you feel about the bye week? When we grew up, bye weeks didn't exist. So let's just take yourself back. How do you feel about the bye week in general?
As a media member, I love the bye week. Yeah, that's a long time we've been going since July nonstop. But as far as the football team goes, yes, I love them. I want two with the expanded schedule, and I want the Super Bowl on President's Day weekend every year. Let's get there.
I like it. With the 18-week season now especially, I think it's necessary. You got to have it. I don't mind taking a little breather in the middle.
I've always loved them as a fan. It's the only stress-free Sunday during the fall, and you get to kick back and watch some of the other teams throughout the league. And now, like these guys said, they're needed more than ever with the extra game.
So as a media guy, I'm happy to stretch the season out. The longer the football season goes, the better it is for all of us. So I'm not one of those guys that complains about the two-week break for the Super Bowl. Would the game just get here? Everybody says, not me. Take as long as you need. Because when the game's over, football's over, and it's a whole different deal. So I'm fine with that. I do find it kind of laughable, though. I mean, the other sports must look at football and go, you play one freaking day a week. They give you half the week off. We're playing back-to-back nights. We're huffing it all over the country. You guys play once a freaking week and you need a vacation in the middle of that? That's too much.
The Bruins had three bye weeks.
Well, that's a little different, but you know what I mean. All right, anyway, next.
They're on tier one. Would you shut up?
Name one bubble team that you'd like to see in the playoffs. A team that would add value to the tournament.
The Colts are out right now, but so I want them in.
Well, that's what I mean. A team that's either in by a game or out by a game, whatever. Someone on the fringe who you want to see in the tournament and why.
Colts, I think they're a good team, and I can't wait for the Patriots to go there and play them in a couple weeks.
Indy, they're tough. They're well-coached. Anyone that plays them, you're going to have to play well or you're going to lose.
Same Colts. They have a good defense. They can be balanced offensively. They could pull an upset or two.
Oh, come on, Steelers.
Steelers. Ugh. Steelers. Ugh. Yeah, just the cachet of the team, the obnoxiousness of the fans, the stadium. It's outdoor. It's grass. It's Roethlisberger. Not that they're playing at home. Whatever. It should be the Steelers next.
Let's not give more credit than we need to give credit to Bill Belichick.
Thank you, Sean. Again, that should be a show motto. Name the three teams you want nowhere near the playoffs. Okay, and I said three because I bet there's a million teams you don't want to watch in the postseason. Give me three you don't want to watch.
The Steelers. They're so bad. And so I don't want to watch Roethlisberger anymore. The Vikings. That's just a horrible team. And the Saints. If they don't have a healthy quarterback, I don't want them on my TV screen.
Washington, you suck. I want you nowhere near it. You sucked last year. You got in. You ruined it for me. Minnesota, you're the greatest choke team in the history of the league, and your quarterback is a eunuch. Pittsburgh Steelers, you have a fat slob who quit 5 years ago playing quarterback. Please go away.
Cleveland, Baltimore, and Washington. I think all three are boring as hell. They're unwatchable, and they're mostly trash. And they're in it right now almost like by default where they are in the playoff standings.
Next.
I remember a game like this that they had up there when Brady was the quarterback once, where the wind was blowing a million miles an hour.
Thanks for that story, Maz. It was a good one. Okay, number seven. Give me your MVP order. One, two, three. Top three MVP candidates in order.
Rodgers, Brady, Jonathan Taylor.
Ooh, I went Rodgers, Jonathan Taylor, Kyler Murray.
Brady, Rodgers, Kyler Murray, and I hope Brady doesn't win it.
What? Oh, because that means he doesn't win the Super Bowl.
That is correct.
He'll be the one to break that, Murray. Next. What's the latest in the world of sports, Mary? In the world of sports, Murray.
Well, Mike.
Sorry. Number six. As part of their new stadium deliberations up in Western New York, one of the options being discussed for Buffalo is a dome. How would we feel about that? The Bills in a dome.
Ew, no. That's part of the fabric of that place is being outdoor in that crappy weather and being miserable with those people. I mean, if Green Bay can have Lambeau outfield outside, then the Bills can be outside in Green Bay's weather's a lot better. I can tell you that much.
I hate the idea with a passion. Hate it with all my heart. It would be the latest sign of the apocalypse that the world is ending because people in Buffalo want a dome. That would or that the league would want a dome in Buffalo. I hate it.
Yeah, I'm with these two. I hate it. If you're going to keep that team in that sad, frozen hellhole, let them play in the elements. And it would be kind of offensive to the Bills Mafia to have to watch those perpetual losers in a dome. It's insulting. Those people need to be outside.
The whole thought is offensive. It's true. They need to be outside because the smell, the communicable diseases, the whatever, the whole thing.
Sex objects.
Those animals need to be outside. You can't contain them inside of a building.
It's going to be like a zoo.
That would be gross. Next.
I'm not convinced.
Of course you're not. Tool bag question of the week. Of all the tool baggery from Monday night, Patriots Bills, on the field or off the field, what takes the prize? Who was the biggest tool bag or what was the biggest tool bag moment from that game, inside or out?
McDermott saying, don't make this about Belichick, and just invoking Belichick's name. He just made himself look awful. It was like basically saying, like, how do you say that you've been outcoached without saying you've been outcoached?
I think it was the entire Buffalo Bills post game. I include McDermott and the two safeties complaining about the questions they got and whining about, just shut up. You got stuffed. That's what happened. Blame yourselves.
McDermott cracking up after the game and proving to be the red ass I thought he was.
Okay. I think the N'Keal Harry punt return deserves honorable mention somewhere on this list. All right. Next. Okay. That's Zoe swearing. That was a, not necessarily a tool bag moment. It was a Zoe moment, though. Number four. What would the Patriots' record be right now if Brian Hoyer were their starting quarterback?
He of 10 wins.
6-7.
I also have 6-7.
I have 7-6. The two extra losses would be Houston and Cleveland.
Houston and Cleveland. Houston, maybe I give you.
And Cleveland, Mac Jones aired it out. That's been his best game of the year. I think you asked too much of the quarterback in that game from Brian Hoyer. You somehow lose it.
You held Cleveland to 7 points.
Yeah, 45-7.
Yeah, so, just his aura and just being there. They don't trust him. They'll find a way to lose.
I have the Chargers game, the Titans game, and the Bills game. They would have lost.
The Bills game?
Yes.
I could have played.
Brian Hoyer would have found a way to mess up.
Greg.
I am scarred from the Kansas City game. He would have fumbled a snap or something.
He was asked to hand off.
He would have messed it up.
He didn't fumble any.
He would have messed it up.
He didn't fumble any handoffs in Kansas City.
He would have messed it up.
So you neglect to realize one thing about Brian Hoyer, which is surprising to me because you place value on intangibles. And you know what it is? He's a loser. That's what it is. He's a losing player.
It's true.
But in this one, you can't say that Brian Hoyer, any quarterback would have won that game.
Would he have completed the Jonnu Smith pass?
So what?
That was a huge play. It flipped the quarter. If they don't get that pass, they flip the quarter, and then they kick with the wind. If that's incomplete, McDermott, hopefully, calls a timeout before the end of the first quarter and gets field position.
Brian Hoyer could have overthrown Jonnu
Brian Smith. Hoyer would have done something dumb. We learned that in Kansas City when he completely lost his mind.
He's a loser.
It was like he was decapitated.
He's a loser.
I think you guys are nuts. I'll give you this. I'll give you San Diego Chargers, and I'll give you, you said Houston.
I said Houston.
I said Tennessee.
So take away two wins, then what are they?
7-6.
7-6. Seven that's and what six. I have
them at. Yeah, 6-7. I throw in one extra because he's a loser.
7-6. Okay, my Brian Hoyer take is aging well, as the kids would say.
Will not give it up.
Next.
Let's not give more credit than we need to give credit to Bill Belichick.
Number three. Who should be the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers next year?
Kenny Pickett, the University of Pittsburgh quarterback. They passed on Dan Marino however many years ago. It killed the franchise. Do not do it again, even though they won't be
is this
high
guy,
enough.
He's a Heisman candidate, right?
Yeah, he is. In NFL circles, he's the one guy that people are like, he's legit. Really? I know a lot of people have said that there's not much talent in this class. From what I've heard, this guy has all the intangibles, and he has better physical skills than Mac Jones. He's very similar to Mac Jones, but with better physical skills. That's what they've said. I haven't watched him.
I'm going to defer my answer to Murray. Go ahead, Jim.
Matt Ryan.
Falcon. Oh, no, that's not who I was going to say.
Falcons have it out in his deal. You trade a third or fourth rounded for him. Better offensive talent for him in Pittsburgh. Good defense. He's got a few years left before he's completely washed. Matt Ryan.
Garoppolo! Garoppolo! Jimmy G in Pittsburgh. It's perfect. Except he's not tough.
Yeah.
Would you say Aaron Rodgers would look good in a Steelers uniform?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a thought. Anyway, next.
They're on tier one. Would you shut up?
Why do you think NBC has not flexed out Chicago Green Bay this Sunday night? It's the highest point spread game on the board. It's the biggest mismatch on the board. Now, I don't know if all these following games are eligible or not. You know, you can't have more than so many primetime games. So, but I'm just saying these are the other games on the slate. Obviously, Tampa, Buffalo, Cleveland, Baltimore, San Fran, Cincy, KC, Vegas. And I'm not saying any of those games are like world beating games, but Green Bay Chicago is a 12.5, 13 point spread. It's the biggest spread on the board. Usually that game gets flexed out. How come it hasn't been?
I don't know the reason. I assume there's some sort of technicality about, you know, the Tampa Buffalo game would be the most appealing game. There must be something they've been on too many nights or what have you. But I think they like that game because it's a historic rivalry and it must get ratings. It must. That's the only reason why it's stuck.
It does get ratings, but you don't know. I'll tell you why when it comes around to me. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, I was going to say Aaron Rodgers is in the game, which never hurts. And secondly, I would tell you it's the two oldest franchises in the league that are still in the cities they started. Neither one of them has moved.
Yeah, the rivalry and the Rodgers factor is star power is still huge. And you got to consider the international viewers, too. I think that there's still a lot of tune-in factor for both of those teams and, you know, people that are stationed around the world. And the Rodgers factor, again, I think that's the biggest part.
I think it's Lambeau in December. Weather games. We talked about this yesterday. Weather games kill it on TV.
And Chicago's a weather place, too.
Green Bay. Right, you could be playing the freaking
general
Chargers. It doesn't matter. It's in Green Bay, Maz. Those games, weather games, kill it in the ratings. People love staying home, watching, and I don't know what the weather's supposed to be in Green Bay, but it probably won't be great. And this Patriots game the other night killed it. Like, people love bad weather games. Lambeau in December, banks. Next. What's the latest in the world of sports, Mary? In the world of sports, Murray.
Well, Mike.
Sorry. Who's the most overrated player in the NFL?
Josh Allen.
Thank you. This was an easy one.
Ezekiel Elliott. I think he's done. He might be done.
I actually think it's really Lamar Jackson.
It's a layup. It's Mac Jones.
There you go.
Good one, Mary.
Back to your phones after Mary's update. Don't go.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. Org. Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
Ooh, isn't the show so great when you're not there, Felger? Yeah, I got a ton of those. I sent those.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, right back to your phones here with Bedard, as promised. Bill in Westford. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, how you doing? Just a comment about Judon. Like, I think he's a great player, but I think he needs to, when he sacks the quarterback, stop falling on him, because I think he's begging for a penalty. And I hate to see him in a playoff game and get called for a 15-yarder. And it's automatic first down, too. So
okay. He could have been called for one in that game if the ref was touchy about it.
Who God knows Josh Allen was bitching enough for calls. Hey, he's as bad as McDermott. Every play, he's whining. And I think, you know, on the topic of Matt Judon, I think that the past two games have not been his best. Before that, before the past two games, he's been one of their best players every single game. That hasn't been the case the past 2 weeks. Hopefully this bye week does him some good and he's ready for the stretch run.
And he did get a 15-yarder earlier in the year exactly for that. Remember that?
That is right.
And to his credit, he took responsibility for it.
Patrick in Weymouth, hi.
Hi, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Hi, this is Patrick Weymouth. Hey, Thugger, first, my girlfriend said, hey, remember to hold it like a pizza, so that's what I'm doing. I don't know if you guys remember, but earlier in the season, they were running so many trick plays, and I'm like, they're going to use this eventually in the season. I had a feeling when they were running so much nickel that they were waiting for the trick play, and he ended up getting scared, and it cost them because we never ended up.
Thanks, Patrick, for the call. Why did Buffalo run so much nickel? I know that's what Bill said. That's their base defense.
That's what they do. Yeah.
And that's just what they do. They weren't waiting for the trick play.
No.
Thank
it was
you.
Just like, you know.
No, they're just
the
stupid.
Week before. How come they didn't run any trick plays this week? Are they saving it for the Bills?
We've got Pat in Franklin. Go ahead, Pat.
Hey, guys, and big boy. Hey, the physicality of the Patriots on both sides, is that a surprise? This is a complete indictment on the entire Bills coaching staff. Experienced guys. No adjustments. No poor decision-making. And after all of that, Josh Allen can still win this game if they execute a couple plays. This coaching staff, oh, my God, it's killing. Buffalo wants them all fired. I'm not sure yet.
Okay, so is it the coaching or is it the roster construction
there
in Buffalo?
I think you could split the blame between Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean, the GM. I think Brandon Bean has not given him enough big bodies up front. Now, I don't know what McDermott's telling me he wants, because this is similar to the personnel that he had in Carolina. I would say they're a little bit bigger up front. I mean, Ed Oliver played a good game interior. He made a bunch of good plays. But the other linemen were invisible. Like I said before, Jerry Hughes is just a pass rusher. He cannot defend the run. He gets overwhelmed easily. And then Gregory Rousseau is a rookie, really good-looking kid as a rookie, but he ain't ready for a game like that. And those are really the only options they had. They could barely put three. I think one time they had four real down linemen on the field, but they should have been doing that from the get-go. Milano's too small for a game like that. It's just the personnel does not work.
Got Tom and Quincy. Hi, Tom.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Greg, that loss to them the other night, it was kind of emasculating the way they got run on. They've done that a few times in the past month. A game like that could be a season-ending, you know, a season-turning event. They got to go to Tampa and deal with Fournette on the ground, and then you got Brady at home. If they don't miraculously do something in Tampa, the season could really go south for them, regardless, even though they only got the Panthers and the Jets or something.
Well, let me stop you, Tom, because people have, you know, said this. It's kind of a storyline coming out of the game. You've ruined the Buffalo Bills. You've destroyed them. That's it. They are psychologically damaged. Do you buy into any of that?
Well, that could happen. I mean, I'm not going to dismiss it. I've certainly seen teams where a loss like that and the way they reacted to it, and McDermott throwing the kick returner under the bus and throwing everybody under the bus, and the safeties being snipey at the media and stuff like that. Usually that does not go well. So I would tend to think that, yes, they're probably going to go downhill. The other side of the coin is, though, it could have been a humongous wake-up call for them. And it could mean that they change their defense going into Buffalo. And they figure out their run.
Going to Tampa. Okay.
They figure out some things. It wakes up the offensive. It wakes up Brian Daboll, all this stuff. And now they get things fixed for the stretch. I'm interested to see how they answer. If they go down to Tampa and win that game, all of a sudden, it's a big game again. It's anybody's game in the AFC East coming down to that game in Foxborough. So we'll see what happens. I'm not ready to write them off yet.
Just quickly with regard to Buffalo at Tampa, I could see Brady screwing that one up.
Brady wants to throw. Is Brady going to be willing to hand it off to Fournette all night just to win the game? They ran it 2 weeks ago. Next week, Brady threw 51 passes. I would just keep an eye on that. I think Brady still wants to chuck it.
What I find kind of hysterical is the Bills, right, and Buffalo fans, and all Buffalo. For 20 years, Belichick, Brady, Belichick, Brady, Belichick, Brady, Belichick, Brady. They can't do squat, can't leak a drop, because they are blocked epically by Belichick and Brady. Last year, Brady leaves. The Pats hit the skids. The Bills are a good team. They win the division. And you can see up in Buffalo, they're saying, finally, we are rid of Belichick and Brady. It's over. Year later, Belichick goes in there and pantses them. Now their season's on the line, and they got to go face Brady. And then when they're done with that, they got to go into New England and face Belichick again, who's back. It's like they can't lose. They can't shake Belichick.
Can't escape.
They can't escape.
It's a roller coaster ride to hell. Is
Belichick
what it is.
And Brady, like, it's a recurring nightmare that they just, it won't end. It won't go away. You know what I mean?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Guess who, just you move away, and guess who just moves in next door? Your old detestable neighbors.
Of course, they're playing Brady this week. Of course they are. That makes perfect sense. That recurring nightmare in Buffalo, it just, again, they won't wake up from it. Last segment with Greg Bedard. He'll look ahead to the rematch, Patriots-Bills, coming up in a long commercial-free segment next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass.
I'm not even going to look it up because I'd rather just deliver that to you.
Facts be damned.
Yep.
Make the shirts.
Yep.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, look, I think one of the interesting things about this game, Mike, was that, you know, even though one of the runs came on a very long run, it seemed like the Bills were slightly scoffing post-game that the Patriots ran it down their throat. And I would only say, Patriots ran it 46 times. One of them was that long run. But on the other 45 plays, when the Bills constantly knew exactly what was coming, Patriots averaged 3.5 yards a carry. That is good in that kind of environment, in that kind of weather, when the opposition knows exactly what's coming. If you can get 3.5 yards every time you run it, that means that you are dictating on a horrible night your will on the opponents. I think that's a little worrisome for Buffalo coming up for the rest of the year.
It's Peter King on with Mike Florio. You can take out that Damien Harris run. He says 3.5 yards on that night per carry. When the defense knows what's coming, it means you exerted your will. So I would tend to agree with that, but what does that mean for the rematch, Greg? And what does that mean for the Bills going forward? And you just sort of hit on it. Like, you know, it could serve as a wake-up call for the Bills that they need to change how they play, or, you know, not so much nickel or whatever. Do they even have the personnel, though, to be different if they want to be different?
A little bit up front. I think they could get a little bit beefier. They could take the emphasis off the edge rushers, maybe sit the rookie Rousseau down, do something different with Hughes, play the Vernon guy. I'm just looking at their personnel right now. What's his name? Vernon, shoot.
Doesn't matter. That guy. Go ahead.
Vernon Butler. Epiniza is an edge guy who I'm not sure if he was hurt or not. He is much better at setting the edge. He's a good player. Mario Addison's okay. They got two rookies. They were all hot and bothered that they drafted two rookie guys, Rousseau and Boogie Basham. And neither of them factored into the game at all, and the Patriots basically just shoved it down their throat. I think they can make some adjustments, but look, it's going to come down to your boy. Whether the Bills or not, this is how they're constructed.
My boy, Josh Allen.
Yeah, they are constructed to basically be the K-gun offense.
But how about defensively? Because that's what Peter King was really talking about there.
It doesn't matter. That factors in. They got to score more points. That's how they're constructed. They went with the new age NFL that we're going to score points, and that's going to sort of cover up for our defense, sort of the way Kansas City came up. Mm-hmm. And they're going to live or die by that. And right now the Patriots say, we can go any way we want.
Hold on. But you keep saying that. Can they go any way they want?
I don't know.
I mean, can they win 38-35?
Are they
31-28?
Look, they lost a shootout to the Cowboys here when they were terrible on defense. Do they need to win a shootout?
Right.
Will the defense be that bad? We don't know. You know, I mean, I think the Patriots think, and I'm sure some of their fans do, that they won't let it get to that point. That they'll only need to score high 20s, maybe 30 points to win every single game from here on out. That could very well be the case. I do want to see the Bills. If I'm the Bills and I come in here, first of all, I think they're going to be, you thought they were red ass the other night. I mean, it's basically your whole foundation, your whole operation is coming down to this game. Because if you get beat again, you might go away. You might miss the playoffs. It's going to be difficult for them. But if I'm them, I come out and I run the K-gun. I go, hurry up. I spread them out. I go, shotgun runs. Josh Allen, go ahead. Win us the game. We put everything on you. We're doing that. That's what I want to see them do. Don't get in the I formation. Don't run. Just be you.
I mean, if they get into a shootout, they'll lose. But Bill,
meaning they being?
The Patriots. Mm-hmm. Yep, the Patriots will lose in a shootout. They're just not built that way. But the variable that they have is Bill. Can Bill prevent it from becoming a shootout? Through the game plan and the scheme on defense and everything else, he's betting on himself. That's how I look at this team. Like, if they were to get into a track meet with Kansas City, they're going to lose.
By this point, at this point, I ask you, would you consider this season a disappointment if they don't make the AFC title game?
Yes.
Yes.
They have to make the AFC title game.
Explain.
Well, I mean, look, right now, well, it depends where they finish as far as the seed. And I guess you think I should factor that in. And maybe I should.
I'm going to answer it however you want.
But
I mean, if they're the one seed.
If they're the one seed, have to make the AFC Championship game.
Agreed.
If they are less than that, which they could be, you know, they could lose to the Colts and beat the Bills and what have you, and they just, the Chiefs get hot, okay? If they win, as long as they win one playoff game, so if they get the bye, they have to win one to get the AFC Championship. As long as they win one playoff game, no matter where they finish, then I'm good with the season.
Yeah, to me right now, you got to be in the AFC title game. I mean, if and again, I'm talking to fans as much as they have. First of all, Bill's looking at it that way. Okay, but also fans. If you're going to argue that they're the best team in the AFC, then how could you possibly say anything but the AFC title game? They're playing better than anybody in the conference right now. They're airtight, really, on defense. I mean, when's the last time they gave up more than two touchdowns? It feels like ages. So on top of it all, you get the number one seed, you get home field, teams have to come here in January. Oh, you bet your ass you better be in the AFC title game.
That's what the expectation should be at this point. I mean, they clearly look like the best team in the conference.
So it's okay to reset your expectations.
Yes, yeah. But we went through this with the Red Sox.
Oh,
not
you
to
bet.
Cross sports.
No, it's the same thing.
But when the season goes on a certain track and all of a sudden you realize, well, they're better than I thought. So what, you're supposed to adhere to the same standards you set at the beginning of the season when they were something different? No. No, it's totally changed. Everything has changed. They're playing at a much higher level. They're capable of beating anybody in the AFC, especially if they're at home. Especially. Although they are unbeaten on the road still, right?
Correct.
Aren't they 6-0 on the road?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Even so, I would tell you that come playoff time, I like their odds better in this building as anyone would. If anyone's coming in here in January, frankly, I don't care what round it's in. If they have home field, they should win the freaking game.
What's the biggest question mark left? Say it. Say it.
Pass game.
Yeah. Whether or not the quarterback can actually win you a
Jones?
Game.
The quarterback.
Yeah, the pass game.
The quarterback. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, we just don't know what the kid is capable of. I mean, he looks like he's fully capable of doing anything. Has he come through in the clutch? What's he going to be like down 6 or 7 points with 3 minutes left in the game? Can he drive them for the game-winning score or game-tying score? I think he can. We have no idea whether he can do it or not.
I mean, people keep taking this personally, okay? But the fact is, whether it was this past game or all year long, Bill has protected the kid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they've protected him. I would argue they've done a pretty good job of managing him overall. In fact, a good job of managing him overall. But Bill's not putting him in any kind of spot where the thing is on his shoulders. And the Dallas game, the Tampa game, they ran him off the field to avoid it, for crying out loud. Probably to a fault, Bill has protected him. But there's still no way of knowing what's going to happen in that spot in the fourth quarter if they're down 8.
Okay, large fella, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Good to see you guys.
Okay. Got Bedard next Tuesday. It is a special Wednesday. Spread it out this week because of the Monday night game. We'll catch Greg on Tuesday, bye week edition. Thanks for coming in. Coming up next, we're going to hit on the topic that we've brushed up against a couple times in the first couple of hours, but we scheduled it for 4, so we like to stick to the rundown. And the topic is this. The question is this. Has Belichick answered the questions? Whatever questions you, we, anyone might have had about Bill Belichick, i.e., that is, winning with a quarterback other than Brady, being able to draft or build a roster, being able to still win on the sidelines and be that kind of coach that we remembered over 20 years. Did you doubt that he was that guy? Did you lose faith that he was that guy? Did you never think he was that guy? A lot of you think he never was that guy. Certainly a lot of us, to varying degrees, lost faith that he was still that guy. So has he answered the question? You're not even in the playoffs yet, but you are here. It is December 8th, and you're the number one seed in the AFC, and you're in first place in the AFC East by 2 games with a different quarterback and a reset roster. So has he answered all those questions? Is it over? Is the debate or the question over? We'll pick that up on the other side after Murray's 90-second update, no commercial.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.